This morning, I want to somewhat, I guess, continue on with a sermon that I had preached the last Wednesday night. I think it was the last Wednesday night that we met. For those that were here, we talked about justification by works on that particular Wednesday night. And I'm not sure if that one is up on the podcast yet or not, but if it's not, I encourage you to go back and listen to that. And the reason being is because when we read through the Bible, we read about three types of justification. And the definition of justification is to declare someone just or to declare someone righteous. And so when you read through the Bible, what you find is that there's a place in the Bible where it says that we are declared just, we are justified by the works that we do. And there's another place in the Bible that it talks about us being declared just or justified by faith. And then there's another place in the Bible that tells us that we are declared just or justified by grace. And I tried to make the point that particular Wednesday night that if we just casually read through the Bible, that might not be something that we ever catch. We might not look at it and say, well, wait a minute, here, you know, it says we're justified by grace, and over here it says we're justified by faith, and there it says we're justified by works. Well, which one is it? Which one are we actually declared just by? And the answer is all three. The difference is it depends on who is doing the declaring. And we looked at that Wednesday night that when the Bible speaks about being declared just by works, that is in the eyes of other people as they look and examine at our lives and they look at our works. And based on the works they see us doing, they would declare us a righteous person, a dedicated disciple. Now, that's easy to understand. That's easy to see. The Bible's examples are Abraham and Rahab. Those are the two prominent examples that we read about. And we talked about the example of Rahab, who was the harlot who hid the spies of Israel as they came in to look at Jericho. And although she was not of the nation of Israel, she feared God and she hid the spies when the king and his armies came looking for him. And as a result of that, Joshua, who was the leader of Israel's armies, looked at her works and declared her righteous. And as a result of that, she was spared when the armies of Israel came in to invade Jericho. But now, the Bible also speaks about being declared just by grace and by faith. And hopefully this morning, I want to look a little bit at what being declared just by faith actually means. We will look at sometime in the future, maybe this coming Wednesday night, I'm not sure, about what being declared just by grace means. And just as a preview, when the Lord looks at us and the Lord declares us righteous, He does that based on grace alone. Amen. He looks at us through the blood of Jesus, not by our works, not by anything that we have done, simply by the grace of God, He looks at us and declares us just. Now, it's interesting to me, the more I thought about this, that if you took the three categories here, being declared just by grace, which is when the Lord is doing the declaring, being declared just by works when other people are doing the declaring, and being justified by faith is when we look at our own selves and do the declaring. If we get those three tangled up and we take the Lord justifying us by anything other than grace, then it's not going to work.
Right.
Because if the Lord says, okay, works is what I'm going to use to declare you just, well, the Bible tells us by the works of the law shall no man be justified
right.
in the eyes of God. But on the other side of that, if you think about, well, what if other men used grace to declare us just? Here's the thing. We're not qualified to do that.
Right.
We're not qualified to look at each other and declare each other just based on grace. Why is that? Because we're fallen and grace is unmerited favor. At some point, we will always look at another person's sin or shortcomings and dwell on it and be critical about it. You see, we're not qualified to justify each other based on grace. And we're sure not qualified to declare ourselves just by grace. Because if you remember back in the Old Testament, there's a time when the Bible says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. We'll take that too far. Because the fallen, corrupt state of man can get to a point where he can do no wrong in his own eyes. That's what it's saying, to be declared just. When it says that every man did that which was right in his own eyes, that means they're living in a day when nobody thinks they can do any wrong. It's kind of like today. So I want to look at when it talks about being justified by faith. Go ahead and frame your minds to be thinking this way. What we're talking about is when you self-examine. This is not about the Lord looking at you. This is not about other people looking at you. This is about you looking at your own self, and what is it that it lies within you that would make you say, I'm a righteous person? Okay? Now, to set some of this up, so hopefully this will make sense to us. If you know in the Bible, there's multiple times in the Bible where the Lord tells us that he has written his laws in our hearts. So there is an inward conscience that all of God's born-again children of God have. It's an inward spirit, an inward conscience, that divine nature that is able to distinguish between what is holy and what is profane, what is right and wrong, what is good and what is evil, because those laws are written on the heart of man. And we know that sometimes that very heart, I'm not talking about the wicked heart, I'm talking about a spiritual heart, we know sometimes that that heart can condemn us, can it not? It speaks about that in 1 John, where it talks about the heart. If the heart condemns us. Now, if you have your Bibles, if you'll flip over to Romans, the second chapter, for just a second. And I want to look at a very good picture of the result of God writing his laws in our heart. Romans, the second chapter. Let's look at verse 14. It says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law. So if you remember, when God gave the law to Moses, if you remember, he gave Moses the Ten Commandments and a lot of other laws. But the Ten Commandments were on the tables of stone, and he also gave them multiple other laws that you can read about in the book of Leviticus. And so he gave the laws to the Israelites, to the Jewish people, to the Hebrews. He did not give those to the Gentiles. But it tells us here, as we talk about the law being written on the heart of every born-again child of God, it proves that to us here. It says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience, that inward spirit, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Now, if you read verse 15 there, it sounds a whole lot like a courtroom, does it not? You've got a witness, which is the inward spirit, the conscience. You've got your thoughts that act as both defense and prosecuting attorneys, because your thoughts are accusing you. But your thoughts are also excusing you, and there is also a law present. So this has nothing to do at this point with the Lord's view of us or other people's view of us. This is us self-examining, looking at ourselves and our lives in the light of the law that God has given us in our hearts and the thoughts and the divine nature that we have. So, and don't forget, all of this is talking about being justified by faith. Now, it's very important to understand this. The end result, or I guess you could say the verdict, of the courtroom where we are examining our own selves, whatever verdict we come up with, wherever, if we look at ourselves and we say, I'm guilty before God, if we look at ourselves and say, I'm innocent before God, whatever that end result is, has no effect on the other courtrooms. We may look at ourselves and say, oh my goodness, what have I done? I have sinned against God. I am guilty before God in this particular matter. That doesn't affect the courtroom where God sits on the throne and judges by his grace. It's important to understand that. Now, I want to look at three different people here very, very quickly that are dealing and struggling with being justified by faith. Being justified by faith does not affect our eternal state. It does not affect our home in heaven. Now listen real closely. Being justified by faith affects your mental and your emotional state.
Amen.
I want you to hold on to that. Being justified by faith affects your mental and emotional state. Now, if you flip over to Romans, the seventh chapter, for just a moment, I want to look at three people very quickly. This is Paul talking, and in my mind, it's almost like he's sitting there looking in the mirror. Now, he's writing it to the church at Rome, but I want you to picture Paul sitting there. So Paul's sitting here in a chair looking in the mirror. And this is what he writes, but I want you to picture him saying it. Now, what you'll see here is you'll see a courtroom in his very mind. You will see the law written in his heart. In his heart, you will see his thoughts are accusing him. And he's struggling here, needing to be justified by something. And he says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do." Have you ever talked to yourself? Like sometimes I'll be out and I'll do something, I'll mess it up, and I'll be like, "Luke, you know, how'd you do that? You know better than that, you know? You know not to do this here and that there, and you just mess some project totally up." And I'll talk to myself, "Luke, you're an idiot." Can you imagine Paul sitting here looking at himself in the mirror saying, "Paul, what you want to do, you never end up doing. But what you don't want to do and the thing that you hate, that's what you end up doing, Paul." And he says, "If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do." Now, let's just pretend Paul's sitting in front of that mirror. Now, maybe Paul just left the synagogue where he preached one of his excellent earth-moving sermons. Maybe he was weeping and crying and beckoning people to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And people would sit there and look at him and watch him do that and watch those works and say, "There's a righteous man." That's being justified by works in the eyes of the people. But then Paul walks in his house, closes the door, and it's just him and Paul, and he sits in front of that mirror, and those works aren't doing it for him. He looks in that mirror and he says, "Paul, how is it that you can get this so backwards? How is it that you can want to do something for the Lord so bad and you end up not doing that? And the very thing maybe that you preach against doing, that's what you end up doing." So his works are not helping him. Because he says, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." And then he goes on and says, "Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind." Remember we talked about a law being written in our hearts? The law of his mind, and there's something warring against that, and Paul can't really control it sometimes, it seems. And it says, "It's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." And notice what he says in this verse here. He says, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Now again, maybe Paul didn't just preach a great sermon, but he had sometime relatively soon before then, because that's what he did. He traveled and he was preaching. But when he sits in front of this mirror, if you allow me to say it that way, Paul is struggling. Paul, all of the things that Paul, and I'm glad he didn't list them out, all of the things that Paul does not need to be doing, he looks at himself in the mirror and says, "Why are you doing those? And you're not doing what you're supposed to." Paul says, when he looks at himself, based on what he is doing, Based on his works, Paul says, I am a wretched man. You see, Paul, up to this point, Paul has tried to declare himself just based on his works.
Right.
You get that? That's why we can't flip-flop grace, works, and faith. Because Paul's trying to justify himself and declare himself righteous by his works, and if you're in your right spiritual mind, we can't do that because we know who we are and what we think and what we do. And Paul can't say, you know what, I'm a pretty good guy. He says, I am a wretched man, and who's going to deliver me from this body of death?
Right.
Now, if you flip over to the book of Luke, in the 18th chapter, we read about two men here. One of them is not in his right spiritual mind, and one of them is. And the Lord is speaking a parable in Luke, the 18th chapter, in verse 9. He says, and he spake this parable unto certain who trusted. Notice this now. It's funny how the Bible ties together so well. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. What is that saying? Here is somebody that justified themselves based on works. You remember I said at the beginning, if we justify ourselves based on works, the problem is we can get to a point where everybody is doing what is right in their own eyes. You can get to the point where you say, I can do no wrong. And he's speaking to a group of people who believe that. Who believe that, yeah, I sat down in front of my mirror. I know Paul sat down in front of his. But I sat down in front of my mirror and I liked what I saw. I talked to myself in that mirror and I said, you know what? You're doing pretty good. I'm going to declare myself righteous because I have done so good. So that's who he's talking to here now. So Jesus tells those men this. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Imagine he's saying this in the mirror. He says, I'm pretty good. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not unjust. I'm not like this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But there's a publican there. So this man, this Pharisee, has justified himself by his own works. The publican is standing way off, it says. He stood afar off, and he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. All right, so you got two men here. They're looking in their own mirrors. One of them says, check, I'm good. The other publican can't even bear to look in the mirror. Now, trying to justify ourselves by works leads you either down the road of self-righteousness, which the Lord condemns over and over, or it leads you down the road of brokenness. Now, I'll give you this last one here for the sake of time. Do you remember in the book of Isaiah, I think it's the 6th chapter, in Isaiah the 6th chapter, in verse 1, Isaiah has a vision. And Isaiah looks upon the Lord. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he goes on to describe him. And he's this beautiful picture of the Lord. And then Isaiah looks in the mirror and says, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Now, I want you to think about these three people right here. Paul, really four, the publican, and Isaiah, as they sit down and they look in the mirror to examine their own selves and try to come to a place where they're either going to condemn or justify themselves. They're going to look in the mirror and either excuse or excuse. And they use their works to try to do that. They use their works. They look at their life, and Paul says, I can't declare myself righteous because I know what I am. Isaiah says, I am a man of unclean lips. Woe to me, I am undone. And the publican won't even look in the mirror. He's probably my favorite example. He won't even hardly look in the mirror because he can't bear the thought of what he is. But being justified by faith, declaring ourselves righteous based on faith and not on works, leads us down a different road. Trying to justify yourself by works, I told you, either leads you to self-righteousness or brokenness. But being justified by faith leads you to peace. Now follow me on that. What we try to do when we look at ourselves and we've fallen short, and we, as the Bible says, we've fallen short of the glory of God, and we look in that mirror and we see what we really are and the sins that we have in our life. And if you don't pray for the Lord to show you the wickedness and the sin in your life, you need to. David said that. David said, search me, try me, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Don't pray to the Lord, hey, Lord, will you just help me be blind to it all? Pray that the Lord will show you those things, because there's a blessing in seeing you for what you really are. Because if you don't see you for what you are, you'll never see the Lord for what he is. And so the temptation there, when we realize that we are wretched, the temptation there is to try to work our way back into the good graces of God. That's our natural tendency. If I've upset you or I've offended you and I've wronged you, what do I try to do? I try to make it up to you.
Right.
Well, what about us? If we realize we've offended God, we go on to try to make it up to the Lord, to work our way back into the good graces. What's the problem? It's because the Bible says that the best works we have, we offer up to God, and they're as filthy rags.
Right.
Well, then, Lord, give me something that I can find some relief, because I am burdened and broken by looking in this mirror. That's why the Lord gave us faith.
Right.
To justify ourselves by faith. Now, what does that mean? If you go back to Paul in Romans, the 7th chapter, Paul says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then what does he do? He quits looking in the mirror at his works and he starts looking at his faith. And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with a mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. He says, I am thankful that I have a belief that is in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Because when I look in that mirror, I do not like what I see. But when I look in that mirror, I also see a faith that generates the belief that the Lord has redeemed me from every wicked work that I have ever done, not based on what I've done, but solely by his mercy and his grace, and because it pleased him to do so. You see, to me, if this is God over here viewing us through grace, really, when we justify ourselves by faith, all that means is we turn and we look at the courtroom where God sits there, and we believe that he's on the throne, and we believe that he justifies us by grace. Now, let me leave you with this. Remember that I told you being justified by faith affects your mental and your emotional state. In Romans, the 5th chapter, in verse 1, it says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace, not self-righteousness, not brokenness. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why did the publican, when he was smiting himself in the chest, And he wouldn't even look up, what did he do? He went to his faith that said, there's a merciful God in heaven and I'm going to cry out to him.
Right.
What did Paul do when he was broken and looking at himself in the mirror? Paul said, I thank Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You don't say that if you don't have faith.
Right.
You don't say, have mercy to me, a sinner, if you don't have faith. So I leave you with this, brothers and sisters. Don't take the self-righteous road.
Right.
Don't take the road that leads to brokenness. Don't put your faith in your faith. Put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because when you sit down and you look in your mirror, there is a road to peace. But that road to peace only, let me say this, the road to that peace is paved with our faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what it means to be justified by faith. Don't ever dilute that or water that down, because I don't want to go down either one of those roads.
Amen.
I want to go down a road that leads to peace. I hope that's been profitable to you and has made some sense. And please pray for Brother Tim as he comes.